Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
So when I came to know the Lord, after my wife also came to know the Lord, for me, I'm a very simple man. I want to grow in the Lord because He's real to me. So I asked Lai Siong, hey, I stay so far away from PJEFC. I stay in Ampang, Datuk Keramat area. There's no CG there. So then I said, can you start one for me? So I got, she got Auntie Chi Heng, be our first CG leader. That time we had only six of us. She, Lai Ling, Scott Ling, Emily, myself, and my wife. So that was in year 2005. I want to say all this because I was so moved when the song was sang, God, you are so good to me. So good. And when Pastor James prayed about James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, through trials and temptation, right? Despite all the ups and downs that me and my family are going through, He is so good to me. So I just want to share this to encourage all of you, never ever underestimate the service to the Lord. God will use it to impact many, many people's lives. Okay? Now today, I'm going to share on giving. The initial title is Where Your Treasure Is, but I think it is better to change it to a kind of exchange. So you pay careful attention to the message I'm going to share later. I hope you will be able to grasp the truth. Now, I want to give four disclaimers first, okay? Maybe three, because of time. Number one, my intent of sharing this sermon is not to ask you to give money later for those ministries outside of the concourse, right? Number two, my intent is to help you to see giving can be a lifestyle as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So that's what DMM is all about, right? Disciple making man. Number three, as I was praying for the whole week, I sense that there are some of you here might not be in the state of giving because you already don't have enough, right? So why are you still asking me to give? So for those group of people, the Lord sees you, the Lord understands you. Maybe this is a time for you to receive. So if you are facing challenges, you need somebody to talk to, who go through this difficult time with you, please talk to us and talk to the church. Okay? So I just want to set this thing in the beginning so that you will follow me as I go through. And I find that to preach on giving without touching on saving and spending is very difficult. Yeah? So I want you to help me right now. Take out your phone and scan the QR code. There are seven items in the short ranking post survey. In the order of priority, how would you allocate or give your income to the below items? Can I give you 1 minute to do that? The more the merrier. Please do this ranking poll as honestly as possible. Okay, so you can continue to do a survey. Please take a photo of the result and then compare with the one that I'm going to share with you towards the end of the sermon. Is that okay? I think I got a lot of work to do. Looking at the result, I got a lot of work to do. Okay, so let us go to the scripture for today. Let's read together. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, see this singular eye, eye. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Oh Lord, your word is so true. Your word is the truth. Help us, Lord, to live by it and be sanctified by it so that we may have life and live our life to its full. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to expound the last verse first. It is the easier one, and it's pretty straightforward, right? I'm sure that you all would understand this. You cannot serve two masters or two lords in this text. Some of you might say, it is possible to work in a restaurant full-time in the morning, and then at night, I can still be a Grab driver, serving two employers, right? But in this context, the proper translation should be, no one can be a slave to two lords. The master here is master the lords, right? You can only serve one and have one allegiance. If you think you can serve two, forget about it. There will always be conflicts, 100%. 100%. You cannot be a servant to the slave to the Romans household at the same time be a slave to a Jewish household. You just can't. Okay? So in this text, Jesus is saying that you can only have one undivided allegiance. Either to God or money. You can't have both. Of course, you can work hard to make money to provide reasonable lifestyle to yourself and your family. Yet, making money should not be the end itself. And in fact, don't make money your Lord. Don't devote your time, energy, and talent to money. In short, you can have money and master it. But you should not let money master you. Of course, the best outcome would be using the money we have to serve God as our one and only God. Ultimately, we are just His stewards of the money He has blessed us with. Am I right? This is biblical, right? All I have is yours. Let me sing, right? If everyone is practicing this all the time, then my sermon can end right now. So we need to be truthful to ourselves, okay? So the message is, no one can serve two masters. But the main text for today, given to me, is on 19 to 21. This passage is so rich. In fact, we can spend hours to go through it. But I just want to try to expound it for you, okay? We will go slow. Do not lay up. When Jesus say this, right, He is saying, stop gathering. Stop laying up. That means the gathering process, you are hoarding the wealth, right, has already started. Stop gathering for yourself. Actually, we are, to be honest, we are hoarding stuff for ourselves, right? Sometimes I heard people say, oh, I'm saving money for my kids, all these things. The guy is already 60 years old, and my wife always talk about this topic. If you are really, really want to save for your kids, you're already 40 years old, why don't you just give the inheritance to the kids right now? So do not lay up for yourselves. Treasure on earth. Treasure on earth is destructible, insecure, it's not permanent, it's temporal. Then Jesus say, but lay up for yourself. Start the process now. Start the process to lay out for yourself treasure in heavens. But Jesus didn't give the exact answer, what is the treasure in heaven? That's why I need you to pray and seek the Lord. There's the answer, by the way. That's why my title is a kind of exchange, right? So start the process to gather treasures in heaven. And He's in fact saying, make a treasure for yourself. So when he's preaching to the crowd, to the disciple, right, in the Sermon on the Mount, this is a continuation, right? And all this all tied together, chapter 5 and 7, actually. So he's saying, start. Do it now. But the punching line is this, you know. The punchline is, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Many, many years ago, when I read this passage, right, I thought something wrong, you know. Then a few years back, as I grew in maturity, I think this is right. Most of us would think, for where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Because you work very hard, my heart. Actually, that's not true. Bible is saying, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What does it mean? I want to give you an analogy, and you will understand very quickly. You know treasure hunt? So let's say now I say, Yifeng is sponsor a car, Tesla. Whoever is going to get to the nearest Swedish furniture company shop, right? The largest one in the world. But in PJ, not the one in Cheras, what would you do? You will set the GPS, right? To go to IKEA, Mutiara Taman Sara, right? And what do? You drive there, right? Use Waze or use Google, use the best app, can reach there and get the car, right? So, and if you have self-driving car, better still. So the treasure is the Tesla at IKEA, right? That's the treasure. The auto self-driving car is your heart. Once you fix your treasure, your heart will automatically follow. That's what it's trying to say, you know. Rich, right, this passage? So I can just stop preaching here because it's a tag given to me. Then I say, wow, Jesus, you're so tough, you know, so tough. But thank God, he didn't stop there. Why I say it's tough is because that's why Paul says, what a wretched man I am. Things that I want to do, I do not do. Things that I do not want to do, I keep on doing it. And now we can blame it too. I cannot control my heart. Because where my treasure is, my heart will follow. That's why Jesus continue with verse 22 to 23. Now this is a very tough passage. It's a continuation, right? So Jesus said, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, you see here, yes, one eye. One eye, basically, I just want to help you to understand, he's saying one mind. One mind. So if your eye is healthy, your body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So here, what Jesus is trying to say is, your spiritual mind, the eye. Normally, eye has got one function, right? It's to see, right? But here, it got two functions. It also serves as the lamp of the body. I will touch on that later, okay? But here, Jesus' solution to us is, how do you change what you treasure? Is by changing your spiritual mind, okay? We were all once dead in our transgression. We were all blind before we came to know the Lord, right? Can a child born blind make himself see? You can't, right? So we were all once dead, blind. But praise be to God, He opened up our spiritual mind, our eye, to be able to see Him. And in fact, I have a good friend in the Bible, Apostle Paul. He was so zealous for the Lord, but he was blinded before he came to know the Lord, right? That means that you can be very passionate doing the things that you think you do for God, but you can be wrong. But praise be to God, God made him blind so that he could see. So all of us here, I believe, we know the Lord. So the Lord has already made us see, okay? So we can see Him. That's what Jesus is trying to say is, What do you see as your eternal treasure? Where is your mind right now? Right? Now, Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 say, light of the world, right? You are the light of the world. I just want to illustrate this point first. Illustrate this point. So Jesus, the big L, as the light of the world, when we can see him, his light will penetrate through our eyes, right? So the second point I want to make is, then how can we become a lamb of the body? So the eye, you imagine the eye is part of the body. If you allow his light to shine through, right, you can see his light penetrate through your eye, and your eye at the same time become the lamb of your body. Therefore, the big overship there is your body, the small overship is your eye. If you allow the light to come and shine on you, and then you are literally like carrying the eye of the lamb. That's why he says you are the light of the world, the small L, right? Then the question is, are we letting him shine through us 100% so that our light is as bright as the shining sun? When we walk and meet up with people, when we give, when we do our work, right? So that is what the Lord is trying to say. To change what you treasure, you need to change your mind. When you change what you treasure, then your heart will follow automatically. Is that clear? I need to make sure that you get this point because it's very, very deep. Right? So it's the lamp of the body. Now, how bright you shine as light of the world will depend on how clearly then you can see Jesus. You know, sometimes we really need to check on ourselves. Are there any dirts or sawdust that's blocking our eyesight? I think that's what the Lord wants to do in our life. I believe all of us can already see, right? But this part of the world, we need to continually working on it. Continually working on it. That's why Jesus is saying, do not lay up treasures on earth, but start laying up treasure in heaven. Now, so in summary, good eye, your mind, will lead you to find the true treasure, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, and then your heart will follow automatically and passionately to seek that treasure. Okay? Let's come to the application now. I think I want to spend a bit more time on this. I thought it would be easy, but looking at the answer just now, so this summary, your mind will determine what you treasure. Okay? Now, if you ask me, this is my view, and I also search the Word of God, this is the right priority, if you ask me. Okay? Why do I say that? So, carbon tax is number one. I saw y'all put carbon tax is number seven, right? That's why I need to spend more time. In fact, I was trying to expound a bit more on the text just now, but I think I want to spend a bit more time here. Why I put tax is number one, Okay. Because Jesus says so, you need to pay your tax. Paul also says so in Romans chapter 13. You can go and find out yourself. Without paying taxes, nobody is going to run the country, right? Now, but why do I say paying taxes is above tithing? Why do I say that? Okay, first of all, employee like me, I don't have a choice. They will just deduct straight away. Self-employed, maybe you can do something. I don't want to know. But tithing is number two, right? So why do I say that? Because as I ask the Lord say, my name, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What if people find out, non-believer, Christian, don't pay tax one, cheat on tax? God don't need our money, you know. And some people also say, oh, I cannot tithe because I pay tax. Oh. Got people like that, I'm telling you. You don't believe me? Really? So, common tax, you need to pay. Because of God's name. We are Christ's ambassador, period. Then come to tithing. This question posed to me many, many times. Should we tithe on gross or net? Gross, why? Because God blessed you with gross, ma. You tithe with gross. Secondly, then I think through, if you are willing to pay government tax based on gross, you want to pay government, pay God's tax or tithing based on net? Come on. Not logical, right? Correct or not? And I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. My family went through difficult time before, but we still tithe. Tithe in the sense that we just say, let's give first, think later. We are exercising our spiritual muscle, but I want to share with you it is possible one. So first, if you agree with me, pay your tax. Okay? Second, tithe. How many percent of tithe? I leave it to you. But if you can afford, you just treat this 10% as your additional government tax, then you would feel it, right? Now, what I'm trying to tell you this is, hey, I went through this thinking process because I tell myself, I instruct, I shape, I discipline my mind to do the things that God wants me to do. There's no such thing as just listen to God's word and then go back and happy ever after. No. God is more interested in transforming us than anything else. So we need to, it's mindset, right? Just I talk about, if you follow my sermon just now, one Lord, one heart, one mind. The only way can change you, how you give, is change your mind. Right? So then the third one I put all same, needs. Of course, you cannot after time, you also need to make sure you meet your personal needs, your family needs, and the needs of others. There's no priority order there because I'm talking about needs. I'm not talking about wants. If people come and ask you to give them money to buy an iPhone, that's not needs. That's one. You can buy a cheaper phone to use it first, right? I'm talking about needs. And then you go to savings. And then you go to spending. But the world teaches to spend first, then save later. The world teaches to get personal loan to spend first, enjoy, then save later. Right? So we need to immerse this order. So what is the result just now? Can you show on this screen? So number seven is the balek. It's the other way around. Right? So Spending is number five. Okay, not too bad lah. Not too bad. Okay, it's number five. You rank your spending higher than tax because you feel it, right? Why should I pay tax, right? Yeah. And needs of other. That's why today I'm talking about needs of other and your family needs, right? Yeah. So I want to say, why should I place the needs of other and families above saving? Because this time I just say, right? Sometimes we might have a reason to say, I hoard my wealth, right? My treasure on earth. Just say, do not. Stop. You never know what will come tomorrow, right? If a brother today come and talk to me and say he needs 30,000 for his child education to study locally, 30,000, let's say, okay? Should I give an excuse and tell myself, oh, I need this 30,000 for my retirement. I don't want to bless you, give you an interest-free loan. Should I do that? No. 30,000 you put in the FD is only 4%. 4% is 1,002 a year, meaning 100 ringgit a month. If I have one less meal outside a month, I forego the interest, give an interest-free loan to the brother, I am investing in a legacy. You get my point, right? I am taking my 30,000 out from my saving account, FD, and bless this family. Of course, it must be a genuine case. You need to do your own search and check, right? You are blessing the child life forever. In the Bible also say, when people need a what? Blanket or a mat. You don't tell your brother to come back tomorrow, right? Of course, if you can give, you should. So don't give an excuse that you do not have enough, that you need to hoard for the future circumstances that you cannot even see. But I'm not pushing you to give, don't get me wrong. You need to deal with the Lord. I know it's a very sensitive topic. Okay? I can tell you, 10 years ago and now, my lifestyle has not changed. My income has changed, I can tell you tremendously, but my lifestyle has not changed. In fact, I'm downsizing my spending. Because if you don't control your spending and the desire, you will not be able to save. You will not be able to save in things like EPF, put in extra 50,000 or 30,000, earn more interest so that in future you can bless other people's needs. The first two is non-negotiable, if you ask me. You give anyway. Whether the church use your tithe for good use or not, let the Lord judge the leadership. Okay, I just want to put this right. But this is on the push factor. I push you. But I want to change the question so that you can see, so that you will give joyfully and willingly and passionately, and it will become a lifestyle in you. So if I change the questions in the order of priority, how would you allocate or give your income to the below items? I change it to, in the order of significance, how would you allocate your income to the items? Okay, tax, I don't know what, I just take out tax, okay? But tithing, whether the church is doing a good job or not, but if it's doing a good job in the right way, it will have eternal significance, right? PJAC is how many years already this year? 58? I think 60 something years, right? Of course, once upon a time, somebody must have some financial support from their home church to do missionary and come here, right? And you see, what is the eternal significance? Brought so many people to Christ until today, right? Family needs and needs of others, same thing. The example I just shared, how you can help one another, it will make an impact to the person's life. Then we talk about saving for the rainy day, saving for when the Lord prompts you to give so that you may bless others. Right? And the last is spending. Temporal. It is temporal pleasure. Right? So that's all I want to leave you with through this passage, because I just don't want to just focus on giving. I want to cover the whole spectrum of things. Okay? Now, in short, for me, with what Jesus said, giving is an exchange of your temporal resources for eternal treasure. And in fact, we need to have the right mindset. You don't lose anything. You don't lose anything. In fact, you gain something that neither moth nor rust destroys. And where thieves do not steal or break in, you gain eternal treasure in Christ. That's the mindset we need to have, and our eye needs to be able to see that. Pull. The Lord will pull you, and you will just give with a cheerful heart. So I won't cover all this point. You can take a picture and go back and chew on it. So when you give, you need to give cheerfully. As I say, God is looking at our heart, right? You need to give faithfully. Tithe faithfully. We need to give wisely also. You need to give wisely to your family needs. And of course, discernment is required. You need to discern whether the case is genuine or not. And you need to give sincerely, not out of a wrong motive. I want to touch on this point a little bit. Because prosperity gospel is all about the more you give, the more you think you have, right? I don't think that's a right motive, lah. Right? Give with a sincerely means give not because under compulsion also. Not because Chirai today talked to you in this message, you give. Then after a while, your spiritual fervor die down. Don't do that. So sometimes we can go to two extremes, right? Give because of wrong motive, want to have more money, and you don't give, you hoard. I think today's passage, Jesus talked about, do not hoard your wealth, lah, basically. Okay? You need to have wisdom to give. And missionally, I share already, and sacrificially. Sacrificially means, I'm sure you guys are familiar with this passage in Mark chapter 12, verse 41 and 44, where the poor widow put the two coins. And Jesus praised her. She gave everything. I know not many of us have this kind of faith. Give everything. But I just want to share with you, when you give, depending on your journey of faith with the Lord, this is a thing that you should do. So the key takeaway is, I repeat, your heart will follow what you treasure, and your mind, which is your spiritual eyesight, will determine what you treasure. If you can see Christ as your true treasure, then your heart will follow Him and His agenda automatically. Giving will then become so natural in you as a disciple, and in the process, you are actually gaining treasure of eternal significance. When you can clearly see this truth with one mind, you will then passionately serve God with one heart and willingly make Him the only one Lord in your life. May we pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word is so powerful. Time and time again, we might have read your word many times, but we may not even understand it fully. And you say, for where your treasure is today, your heart will be also. It's so profound. But we thank you. You also give us a way out. You tell us we need to have good eye, good spiritual mind to see you and your truth, so that we may lay hold of things that is of eternal significance to us, instead of storing up things that is of temporal and give us temporal pleasure. So Lord, we just want to ask you, Lord, whatever word that I've spoken, may it not return to you void, but take root in the hearer's heart and make them grow. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, make disciples.